end?
Yes. Okay. Man, are you thankful Joseph was with us today? Let's again thank the Lord. Tremendous, tremendous message. Go ahead and open your Bibles to the book of Colossians, and as you're doing that, please stand with me. I want to dismiss all the kids 6th grade and under to junior church. So go ahead and stand up. Colossians chapter 1. The kids are like, free at last, free at last. Brother Joseph is going to do one more song towards the end of the service. But again, thank you, my friend, for being with us today. We are blessed. Did we get a count today, guys, of what we got? 346. Praise the Lord, man. That's tremendous. Go God. Thank you for inviting people and getting the word out. And we are truly blessed of God that you all have done that. I want to preach this morning just for a few minutes. I promise you. You say, yeah, it's morning. It's 3 minutes till noon. But no, I honestly do. I want to preach something that's on my heart. I really, truly been thinking a lot about what I was going to preach on today. And I just kept coming. My heart and my mind kept coming back to one passage of Scripture. When I was 16 years of age, the Lord Jesus Christ radically changed my life. He did that by me as somebody that needed Jesus more than my next breath. I called upon God. I was in a Wednesday night service, just like this Sunday morning, but it was a Wednesday night. I'm sitting there, and I was listening to a preacher preach, and he talked about how the Word of God declares that we're sinners. And the Word of God declares that we need to be forgiven. It teaches that we need to be forgiven by God if we're going to go to heaven when we die. So that night, July the 6th, 1988, I repented. I called upon God, and I said, God, I just shared this with a gentleman at my eye doctor, my eye surgeon the other day, who I really believe the Lord's working on his heart. And I talked about how I simply asked God. I talked to God like I'm talking to you. I said, God, I know I need you. I know, God, I'm a sinner before you. And I said, God, but for the first time, please hear this. If you're listening, say, I'm listening. All right, for the first time in my life, I said, God, I know that what you did on the cross 2,000 years ago, you did for me. And I said, God, will you please forgive me of my sin, and will you please save me? I believe that you died, that you were buried, that you rose again. And God saved me that day, and he changed my life. The passage of Scripture here in Colossians chapter 1, the context of the Apostle Paul, is writing in the inspiration of the Spirit of God. He's writing to a church, a local assembly that he had never attended. He'd never gone to. But Paul, today's being Friend and Family Day, the Apostle Paul was a friend, amen? He was a friend to people, and he was a friend to churches. And what Paul's going to talk about in these few verses, he's going to talk about the joys of knowing Jesus. The joys of knowing Jesus Christ. And he begins, if you'll notice, verse 12, we'll read just a few verses of Scripture. He says, giving thanks unto the Father, Colossians 1, verse 12, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He's now, again, he's thanking the Father. Notice what the Father has done. Of course, the Father, he's talking about the Heavenly Father, his God that changed his life one day. He then says in verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us in the kingdom of his dear Son. Notice verse 14, the beauty of the blood, verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you'll help us to love you more. We thank you, God, for the joy of knowing you. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the blessing of being saved. I pray, Lord God, today that if there's someone here today that doesn't know you as Savior, I pray, Father, that today will be the day that they realize that they need you, that your Holy Spirit, God, will show them their need for salvation and will show them, God, that as Joseph has sang so great today, Lord, and really praised your name, there's no doubt, God, in a crowd this size, somebody that's hurting. There's no doubt, God, in my mind, in a crowd this size, that there's someone or maybe a few folks who are struggling with things. And God, they seem like it's helpless. They may seem, Lord, that they're hopeless. But Father, we thank you that the blood that you shed 2,000 years ago, you did to take care of their hopelessness. You did that, God, to take care of their helplessness. You did that, Father, to forgive them of their sin. And Father, I pray today that you'll save souls, that you'll touch hearts as only you can. For it's in Jesus' name I pray, and amen. Thank you, folks. You may be seated. Again, thank you for being a part of our services today. Thank you for coming, and thank you for those that invited friends and loved ones and family. And I'm thankful to have my in-laws with me today, here today, And they came for Leslie today. No, they came, and appreciate them being here. And if you were to talk to my father-in-law, he would tell you I'm his favorite son-in-law. I know he would do that. But I love them and appreciate them, and I appreciate them being here today. The Apostle Paul was a tremendous man of God. He was a man that if you were to look at his story, he was a man that before Jesus came into his life, he was a man whose life was a mess. To say that he hated Christian people, that was an understatement. He was a Pharisee. He was a religious kind of a elite type of person in a Judaism. And he was a man that hated Christian people in so much that he witnessed the stoning death of one of the deacons of the church of Jerusalem. And those guys that were stoning Stephen, hitting him with these big rocks and killing him, they laid the feet of their, they laid the clothes of those boys down at the feet of this man who we're talking about today. You say, well, what was it that took this man who had Christians beaten, he had believers put in jail, he had them stoned to death, he had them put, what was it that changed that man's life? Let me say it to you. It was the blood of Jesus that changed his life. There's many of us here today that are changed because of simply the blood of Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sins? The hymn writer wrote it best. What can wash away my sins? He answers it, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the joys of knowing Jesus are tremendous. The blessing of having your sin forgiven. As I shared with someone recently, I said to them, I said, you know what a joy it is to know that you can, that you know the joy of knowing Jesus is the fact of knowing that if you drew your last breath today, you'd be in the presence of God. I said that with a lady my wife and I were visiting. I shared that with her, and I shared the gospel like I've already done for you today and shared with you all today. And I said to her, she said, well, can anybody, listen to her statement, her question. She said, can anybody know for certain that they're going to heaven when they die? I said, yes, on the authority of the word of God, you can know. 1 John was written that we may know that we have eternal life. And that life is indeed in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want us just real quick, we'll do just a quick Bible study of some thoughts or some phrases that really bring to light what happens, what takes place when a person repents and believes the gospel. Now, I know there may be some, maybe even watching by internet. And by the way, we have folks watching by internet. It's not uncommon to hear of reports in different states. It's not uncommon to hear that. We've had soldiers watch us in the Middle East and Afghanistan, Iraq. So those watching by internet. But here in this portion of Scripture, something miraculous had happened to the Apostle Paul's life. God radically changed his life. In the earlier verses of this chapter, the Apostle Paul, again writing to the church at Colossae, it's a church that he had never been to, but he had heard about them. Now, what had he heard about them? Well, if you want to look real quick, look at the earlier verses of chapter 1, verse 4. He says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. You see, what had taken place in the lives of the members of this church of Colossae is they had, just like I had, just like Joseph had, just like many of us in this room had done, they had repented and believed the gospel. And here's what Paul is admonishing them and rejoicing in. Paul is rejoicing in the fact that they had placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ the Lord. You want to go to heaven when you die? Does anybody want to go to heaven? Do you want to go to heaven when you die? Amen. Well, let's be honest. Let's be transparent. On the authority of the word of God, the only way you'll go to heaven when you die is by placing your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we live in a culture, we live in a world that there's a lot of people today that have placed their faith in themselves. They've placed their faith in church membership. As I was sharing with a gentleman at my eye doctor, and we were talking, and we've been talking when I go in there, and he'll ask me questions about the Bible. And he was saying to me, and I was sharing with him, I said, hey, I said, Ray, I said, do me a favor. I said, read the Gospel of John. I said, the Gospel of John is a tremendous book of the Bible. And he said he would read that, and I'm praying that he will. And my prayer is that the Lord, as I shared with him, that the Lord will show him his need. And I said to Ray, I said, Ray, I said, when you read the book of John, I said, here's what I want you to pray. I said, I want you to pray. And I said, here's what I want you to pray. I said, I want you to pray, and I want you to say to the Lord, I didn't say pray, I said, I just want you to say to the Lord, like I'm talking to you, I said to him, I said, I want you to say to Jesus, Lord God, as I read this book, if I'm not saved, will you please show me? But God, if I am saved, will you please show me? You say, preacher, do you truly believe that the Lord Jesus can do that through the Gospel of John? That's why it was written. John said that's why it was written, that we may believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul, he admonishes them for their faith there in verse 4 in Christ Jesus and of the love which he have to all saints. He says, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, where have ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel? The gospel is it just simply means good news. But in specific terms, it means the good news regarding Jesus. Paul would write about the gospel. He would write what the gospel was in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says the gospel is none other than the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ the Lord. He would write about the gospel in other books of the Bible in Romans chapter 1. He says the gospel, it's the power of God unto salvation. The message of the gospel is what God uses to save people. The message of the gospel is what God uses to save those that feel hopeless, to save those that feel helpless, to save those that honestly have gotten to the place in their life that they don't think they can live another day. They don't think they can take another breath. They don't think they can walk another step. But I'm thankful, ladies and gentlemen, we have a God in Jesus who the Bible declares is a God who loves people. He loved you enough to die for you. He loved you enough to give his life for you. He loved you enough. He loved me enough to shed his blood 2,000 years ago. And that's why, ladies and gentlemen, we're here to shout today the joy. There is joy in knowing Jesus Christ. He's a God. You say, yeah, but preacher, what happens when you mess up? Well, let me just say something to you. Stand in line, brother. There ain't a person, there ain't a man, woman, boy, or girl in here who hasn't messed up. It's only by the grace of God that we are what we are. I intentionally asked Joseph, yes, he shared it on Wednesday night in August of last year, his testimony. But I intentionally, I said, please, brother, share that testimony. He said, Brother Tracy, I'll do it. I'll be more than happy to do that. And the reason I did that, here's why I did that. The reason I asked him to do that was this reason. I would be a fool to think that there isn't people sitting on our church pews that are struggling with addiction. There are good people that are struggling with that. There are good people. And just because you're struggling with it doesn't, listen, friend, it's only by the grace of God. I'm not struggling with it. I shared with our church not too long ago, my mother, brother, my mom, who's 60, she just celebrated her 67th birthday. My mother, 67th birthday, September 14th. But you know my mother, in June or July, she was arrested for either buying or selling narcotics. My own mom. Is there hope? You better believe there is. His name is Jesus. He's more than just a story. He's more than just some religious figure. Ladies and gentlemen, he's God in the flesh. And because he's God in the flesh, he is the God who died on a cross of Calvary. They buried his body, but the grave could not hold him. And 3 days later, he come out of the grave. The Bible declares he was victorious over death on the grave. But Paul talks a lot about the joys of knowing Jesus Christ. And I want to just kind of pick some phrases out. This is what I do when I preach the Bible, is we just kind of do a word study, maybe some study of phrasing Paul gives us here. So notice, first of all, in the context of the joy of knowing Jesus, notice the provisions that's the Lord Jesus, that he rendered to us. The provisions that he, the Lord Jesus Christ, rendered to us. Look at verse 12 of our text. Paul says, giving thanks unto the Father. I'll just say to you today, ladies and gentlemen, that one phrase alone, and we're not really digging into that one, but that one phrase alone we could preach 10 years on. We've got a lot to be thankful for today, do we not? You say, preacher, what am I to be thankful for? I'll tell you just one simple thing is you got breath in your lungs this morning that enabled you to get up. We have a lot to be thankful for. He says, giving thanks unto the Father. Notice these phrases now. Which hath, underline these next three words, made us meet. The phrase "made us meet" literally means qualified. Look at this. Giving thanks unto the Father, the joys of knowing Jesus, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance, Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now I know what our world says, that a saint is someone who has been dead for a while and they eventually declare sainthood. Well, biblically, that's what we just want to say something to you biblically. On the authority of the Bible, all a saint was in Scripture was someone who had repented and believed the gospel. And God had forgiven them of their sin. And so in that respect, Paul's saying in this aspect that is the Lord Jesus Christ, he's already said in verse 14, through his blood, it is through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that when God saves a person, here's the joy. The joy of knowing Jesus is he's qualified you to be in his presence. He's forgiven you of all your sins. The word qualified, it means to be declared God. Paul saying, we give thanks unto the Father. Why, Paul? Because he qualified us. Say it like this. He made us, and this is a hard one. This is a hard one sometimes to wrap your mind around. When a person repents and believes the gospel to the saving of their soul, you know what Jesus does? He makes us worthy. He forgives us. Boy, this is good. He forgives us of all of our sin. And guess what else he does? He declares us righteous because of the blood of his son that has been applied to our lives. Paul says he qualified me. Now, Paul was a lunatic, man, before Jesus saved him. He was a wild individual. He was hateful. Anybody that claimed the name of Jesus, he didn't. His life's ambition was to get rid of anybody that identified themselves with Jesus. As far as Paul was concerned, now we know him earlier, he's mentioned as Saul of Tarsus, but we know him now as the Apostle Paul. God saved him, changed his life. But as far as Paul was concerned, before God saved him, as far as he was concerned, all Jesus was some lunatic. All Christianity was a cult, and all Jesus was a cult leader, and he was going to do everything in his power to stamp him out and stamp out his influence. But something happened. Now he's writing about how wonderful of a Savior he has, who qualified him, who declared him righteous. But again, now look at something else he tells us here. Who hath delivered us, verse 13, from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Look at this now. Let me give you a few words on this. So we see his provisions that he gave to us, but we see now our past to be reminded of. The Apostle Paul had a past. We all have a past. Even those of us that have Christ as our Savior, we still have a past. You'll talk to people, and I've talked to people over the years, and I'll ask them, hey, are you a Christian? I don't really ask that so much anymore because everybody will say they are, but I'll ask them, hey, I'm a Christian. Well, how long have you been born again? To which often sometimes people say that they don't realize what they're saying. They'll say something like this. Well, I've been a Christian all my life. On the authority of the Bible, that's not true. Because, ladies and gentlemen, we have to be forgiven of something. If we're going to go to heaven when we die, we have to be forgiven of our sin. So Paul reminds them, he's reminding us of our past by a few of the words that he uses here. He gives vivid description of life before Jesus Christ. Notice two thoughts under this. Notice, first of all, literally how he brought us out. Look at verse 13 again. Who hath delivered us. Underline the word delivered if you want to just kind of make some thoughts on this. This is tremendous word pictures. The word delivered is a tremendous word here. It's a picture. It's actually a word that means rescued. This is getting good. I'm telling you, this will bless you. It means rescued. It means snatched out. Paul says, Christ, we give thanks unto the Father, then verse 13, who hath delivered us, rescued, snatched out. It's the image of someone trapped in a burning building with no way out. Then suddenly someone crawls through the darkness to their rescue. They were snatched out in the nick of time. And the Apostle Paul reminds us that the day God found us and saved us by his amazing grace, he delivered us, he rescued us, he snatched us out just in the nick of time, that moment when we trusted Christ. He snatched us out of danger, ladies and gentlemen. I was watching the movie Fireproof the other day. That's a tremendous movie. I was watching it by myself and I was crying. Don't let that bother you. You say, why were you crying? You leave me, I ain't telling you. But I was crying. And I don't let that bother you, because I cry at McDonald's commercials. I truly do a lot of times. I see that little old lady taking that little tray. It just touches my heart. But anyway, I was crying. But the image, I'll never forget the image. One scene shows Kirk Cameron as he shows up in there's a fire. He's a fireman. He shows up and people are, you know, out, and they're like, oh yeah, nobody else is in the house. Well, about that time, the little neighbor girl comes running up and she says, no, no, no. She says, I forget the little girl's name. She says, no, no, no. She says, my friend, she's still in there. And her parents are like, what do you mean she's still in there? She was supposed to be at your house. And the little girl says, no, she left my house and she went back home. Well, immediately Kirk Cameron, he's Captain Holt. He goes running in. Here's what's awesome. He goes running into that burning building. And he finds her. He then has to get down to the crawl space to dig himself out. He cuts a hole in the floor and he grabs that little girl and he brings her out just in the nick of time. He rescues her. May I add, ladies and gentlemen, 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ did something for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. One thing I love about my Lord, just as that Captain Holt did in that movie, Jesus didn't run away from the danger. He ran towards it. He ran towards the cross. You say, but preacher, if he was Jesus, if he was God in the flesh, why would God allow Jesus to die for sinful man? I'll tell you why. Because, ladies and gentlemen, if Jesus had not chose to run towards the danger and die on the cross of Calvary, you and I would be hopeless, destined for hell, eternally separated from God forever. So Paul says he delivered us. Notice something else he did. Where he brought us out, where did he bring us out? How he brought us out, he delivered us, he rescued us, but where he brought us from? From the kingdom, or verse 13, from the power of darkness, and hath translated us to the kingdom of his dear son. Darkness there is an expression points to the kingdom of darkness, the ruler of darkness. The kingdom is marked by sin and moral darkness. Without God, mankind stumbles and falls as if they're walking in darkness. Notice something else, verse 13. And hath translated us. We're going to see a divine transformation in our text. He talked about our past, but now he's going to talk about our present. And it's a present that we can rejoice in. If a person has repented, you say, Brother Tracy, but that's too easy. I remember before I was saved, I used to tell my friends, I would tell my family, before I'll believe in Jesus, before I'll trust Christ, but honest truth, I say things like this. I've got to hear thunder clap from heaven. I've got to see lightning in the sky. I honestly would say that. I've got to see some miracle. Ladies and gentlemen, but here's what you got to understand. The greatest miracle you'll ever see is what happened on the cross 2,000 years ago. Jesus Christ choosing to die for sinful man. He was sinless. One thing about Jesus we've got to get a hold of is he is sinless. But notice in these words here, the word translated is a tremendous passage. It's a tremendous word, excuse me. Paul says that Jesus translated us. Jesus had translated the Apostle Paul's life when he repented and placed his faith and trust in Christ. The word translated, it's a musical word. It means to transpose. And now I do not, but they say that this happens, that when we transpose music, we change it from one key to another key. It speaks of taking from one place to another. Paul had mentioned in these verses, verse 13, that Jesus, through his death, burial, and resurrection, he delivered us, he rescued us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. So he took us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of Jesus. The word translated means transposed, as we said. So here's the image. The day God snatched us out, he rescued us out of the kingdom of darkness. He brought us out of that darkness and then translated us, or if you will, transposed us into another kingdom. When they transpose music, it's not uncommon to take that music from one key to another key. When Jesus saves a person, ladies and gentlemen, he takes them from one kingdom to another kingdom. The joys of knowing Jesus. You say, but Brother Tracy, you don't understand what I've done. That may be true, sweet friend, but you don't understand what a Savior I have. Brother Joseph said today, there isn't any sin that his blood can't forgive. There isn't anything that Jesus can't forgive. Look at us, and we're almost done. The kingdom of his dear son, that's a divine association. But we see a power in this last thought to be received. He said in verse 14, look at this. This is great. In whom we have redemption. The word redemption means to buy back. It pictures a marketplace where an offended master sees the slave that once forsook him and he buys him back. It suggests a ransom that was paid. Paul says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Sin had separated us from God. Sin, the Bible teaches and tells us that because of our wickedness, because of our sin, literally the wrath of God abideth over us. But the moment a person repents and places their faith and trust in Jesus, God forgives them, he translates them, he rescues them, he buys them back. He forgives them of all they've ever done. But here's the good news. He forgives them of all they've ever done or all they ever could do. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. The word forgiveness means to cancel or send away. Our debt was canceled because Christ's blood paid our debt in full. You say, Brother Tracy, yeah, but what happens? What's the big deal? Well, you want to see what the big deal is? I'm going to fast forward. I'm done, but I want to give you one more verse. Verse 21 says, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Tremendous imagery. Tremendous passage. In the body of his flesh through death to present you. This is tremendous. The word present was a word that was used when one king had conquered another king. And what would happen is when that king had conquered the other king, they would bring that king who had lost into the presence of that conquering king. So it means to present that. So Jesus says, now that you've been born again, now that you've been forgiven of all your sin, the Bible tells us that Jesus, in the body of his flesh, verse 22, through death to present you. So here's how he does. Here's what he does. When a person repents and believes the gospel, here's what Jesus does to him. He makes you, look at the wording, holy. Get a hold of that, man. The word holy means set apart. It not only means set apart, it carries the image of being set apart unto God. Set apart from the kingdom of darkness, from the world, unto the Lord Jesus. Paul wrote about in 1 Corinthians where he said, ye are not your own anymore. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. You've been bought. So Paul, he's telling us now, you're holy. Then he says, he used the word, verse 22, unblameable. The word unblameable means without spot. What in the world is what? Wait a minute. You mean when Jesus forgives a person, when they repent and believe the gospel, he makes them holy? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. You mean when Jesus saves a person, forgives them of their sin, when they repent and believe the gospel, he makes them unblameable, makes you without spot? Notice something else that he does. Verse 22 says, and unreprovable. The word unreprovable means no accusation. No charge can be brought up against us. You say, hold it, preacher. Wait a minute. I know who I see, preacher, when I look in the mirror. Preacher, I don't know about that. I know who I see when I look in the mirror. That may be true, ma'am. That may be true, sir. And if I may, just my own personal life, I know who I see when I look in the mirror. And there's, listen, this guy doesn't look like this in my own eyes. But you're missing a big point of this passage. Look at the last phrase of verse 22. Three words. In his sight. You know what's great about my God? Is that the fact that when I repented as a 16-year-old kid, if my grandma was here, she'd say punk kid. Mean kid, meanness. When I repented and believed the gospel to the saving of my soul, God forgave me. He cleansed me by his blood. And here's what's awesome. When he sees me now, he doesn't see me in my lostness. He doesn't see me hopeless and helpless. He sees me as holy, without spot, without accusation. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ has been applied to my life. I know who you may see when you look in the mirror, friend. But I promise you, if you have never in your life repented and believed the gospel to the saving of your soul, I encourage you right now to do that. I encourage you right now to repent. Ask, I say, preacher, what does it mean to repent? You use the word repent a lot. The word repent to the first century mind was a word as far as a picture. It's kind of the thought of to look again. You say, what does that mean? Jesus was popular in the first century. He was going around and he was preaching the gospel. He was talking about how he would die, he would be buried, he would rise again. But it would often fall on deaf ears. Even in his hometown, the Bible says he could do no miracles other than because of their unbelief, other than a few sick folk got healed. But it means to look again. He said, preacher, I've been taught about Jesus my whole life. Well, I encourage you to look again. He's not just a story. He's the King of glory who died 2,000 years ago to save you, friend. So look again. And maybe today you're here and say, preacher, I'll be honest. For the first time in my life, just like I was, for the first time in my life, I've looked again and I realize now for the first time through the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God that what Jesus did, he did for me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one looking around, please. I don't embarrass anyone. You hear today say, Brother Tracy, I'll be honest. I'm not saved. You said earlier, if I died today, am I 100% sure that I'd go to him when I die? I can't say that I'm 100% sure. No one looking around, just myself and the Lord. If that's you today, say, Brother Tracy, I am not saved. Will you please pray for me? Please raise your hand. Anybody like that? Say, I'm not certain that I'd go to heaven when I die. Thank you, sir. Anyone else, you can put your hand down. Anybody else, say, preacher, thank you. I see that hand back there. And put it down. Preacher, I'm not 100% certain that if I died today that I'd be in heaven with my Lord. But for those that just raised your hand in that, I encourage you right now, just like I'm talking to you, I encourage you to talk to God that way and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner and I know, God, that I will not get to heaven without you. Please forgive me. I believe that you died, was buried, and rose again. He'll save you. He'll change your life. If you'll place your faith and trust in him. Now let me talk to you for a minute, to the believer. Maybe today you say, Brother Tracy, I know without a shadow of a doubt, I know Christ is my Savior. If I died today, I know without a shadow of a doubt, I'd be in heaven with the Lord. But as you said a moment ago, I know who I see when I look in the mirror. And I'll be honest, it gets discouraging. I struggle with whatever sin. And I just don't think I'll ever break free. Well, on the authority of the Bible, and I hope you hear this, and I pray to God you hear this statement. Jesus' love for you, believer, is not based on your performance. He loves you unconditionally. How many of they say, preacher, I'll be honest, I'm struggling today to really truly believe that. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to come to you after. Raise your hand. Anybody like that? Hands all over the building. Thank you. You can put your hands on. Anybody else? He said, "Preacher, I'm struggling. I'm struggling. Thank you. Thank you." Hands literally everywhere. Hands all over. And I want to pray with you. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. We thank you for the gospel that we've heard in song. We thank you, Father, for your word. There's some here today, God, that have never repented and believed the gospel to the saving of their souls, to which we pray, God, for these. That I pray, God, that you will show them their need. Seemingly, God, you have done that. So, Father, I pray that they will repent and believe the gospel by faith, that they will look again to the cross. I also pray, Lord, for these that have many, Lord, dozens of hands that went up that say they're struggling. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will give them peace in their heart and their life. We know how Satan works, Father. We know how God, he often will discourage us, Lord, with our life because of our life, and he'll discourage us, God, because of our struggles. But, Father, I pray for these today that need a touch from you, Lord. I pray, Father, that you will surround them with your love. I pray, Lord, even today that through the preaching, the message, and song, that it has some way been an encouragement to them, Lord, to let them understand that when they look in the mirror, we don't see what you see. Because, God, we're not God, but you are. And thank you, Father, for your blood that's been applied to our life, that, Father, when you look at us, you see the blood of your Son. Father, please help us to love you more, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. We're going to sing a verse of invitation. Where's Brother Stephen at? Where is he at? Come on ahead, Brother Stephen. Sorry, Miss Tina. I kind of caught him off guard for a second, but I'm going to ask you to take a hymn book. Brother Stephen's going to lead us in a song. Here's what we're doing. Maybe today you'd like to respond to the message. Maybe you'd like to come forward. We have an altar here, and if you'd like to come forward and pray, maybe you would like someone to come with you and pray for you. We want you to do that. Those of you that are questioning whether you're saved or not, if you still have questions, if you have not settled the issue and would like to talk to anyone, I would love to talk to you about that. Maybe that's your desire. Step out in one of these aisles. We have three aisles. You can step out. I'd love to take a Bible and just show you if you still have questions about that. But if God spoke to you and you need to step out, you need to come for prayer, you come. What's the number, Brother Stephen?
Hymn number 219.
219. Hymn number 219. You come as we sang. If the Lord's spoken to you to do that, you come right now.
I hear the Savior say, "Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus made it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. Jesus.
Hey, we thank you for being here. We are going to worship the Lord at this time.